Perhaps the most perplexing aspect of applying for funding in New Zealand is Vision Mataranga. This is a national research-related policy that has been adopted by government funding agencies and some private funding organisations. Essentially, this policy and framework is about demonstrating how your research will either contribute specifically to Māori communities or draw on existing Māori knowledge and wisdom to advance or complement your research, or how it might be of interest to Māori-owned businesses. This episode will give you the key pointers to ensure that you have the right mindset and know how to start your relationship with Māori in your research.
Welcome to the Research Funding Accelerator, where Dr. Tracy Swift, author of How Smart People Win Research Funding in New Zealand, provides a weekly commentary on strategies, tactics, and techniques to help researchers make their proposals more competitive and increase their odds of winning funding so they can do more and better research.
In trying to understand the Vision Mataranga, you need to also think about the Treaty of Waitangi. The Treaty of Waitangi is now a living document that is part of the Constitution, which means that Māori have constitutional rights under the Treaty. The Crown and any organisations, agencies or enterprises established by the Crown should be giving effect to the principles in the Treaty. Your employing organisation, particularly if it is a university, will have in-house courses or training available to help you understand the treaty and its principles. You will also find these types of courses freely available at many institutions, like libraries, for example, free of charge or for a small fee. There are plenty of ways to get educated about the Treaty of Waitangi. However, the three principles are partnership, which involves working together with iwi, hapū, whānau and Māori communities to develop strategies for Māori education. Protection, which means proactively protecting Māori knowledge, interests, values and other taonga such as identity, language and culture. And the third principle, participation, which means equity of access and participation. The Vision Mataranga policy and framework acknowledges and includes the unique and special contribution of Māori knowledge and distinctiveness in research. It identifies four distinctive research themes of importance to the nation and has relevance to the whole of New Zealand. The four themes are Indigenous innovation, contributing to economic growth through distinctive R&D. This theme is concerned with the development of distinctive products, processes, systems, and services from Māori knowledge, resources, and people. Taiao, achieving environmental sustainability through iwi and hapū relationships with land and sea. This provides for distinctive environmental research arising in Māori communities, culture, and experience in New Zealand's land and seascapes. Aora Oranga, improving health and social well-being. This is concerned with distinctive challenges to Māori health and social well-being. And finally, Mataranga Māori, exploring Indigenous knowledge and research, science and technology, which explores the interface between Indigenous knowledge, including Mataranga Māori and research, science and technology. More often than not, an incoming researcher to New Zealand will not be involved with Indigenous innovation or developing Māori products and services prior to starting their research. Typically, incoming researchers, those who are new to the system, will neither have pre-existing relationships with iwi and hapū, which is the tribes and families, nor will they understand iwi and hapū relationships to natural resources such as land, rivers, mountains and sea. So it's probably fair to assume that most incoming researchers will at least initially seek to demonstrate the relevance of their research to Māori by suggesting that their research is either not relevant or by assuming that just because it's relevant to the whole population, it will also apply to Māori. So when you're new, start by talking to the senior researchers in your department, your organisation, about their existing relationships into Māori communities. If there's a dedicated Māori research centre, talk to them in general about your research and seek their guidance as to what you should do. Books and papers to read, perhaps, events to attend to understand how the Vision Mataranga policy and framework apply to you and your research. I have four observations to make that highlight some of the contentious issues you would do well to be aware of. Number one, Māori account for approximately 5% of the researchers in New Zealand. This is a very low number, and it means that their visibility in your field may be somewhat limited. Second, many research organisations appoint a Māori kaiārahi, which means that there is a designated person who has a specific remit to give advice about research or ethics proposals and Vision Mataranga. In my experience, the services of these people are vastly oversubscribed, and the demands of researchers wanting advice far exceeds the willingness of the kaiārahi to provide assistance. Many of these individuals feel that they are only called upon to tick the Māori boxes. Most, but certainly not all, Māori researchers are nested in disciplines and departments that concentrate on Māori indigenous research or education. This seems to be true even if they have qualifications and PhDs in other disciplines, including science, engineering or medicine. Many Māori researchers struggle to get professorships in academic promotion rounds because they're typically associate investigators or named researchers on grants. They're not principal investigators, nor are they major grant holders in their own right. This means that their personal research achievement is contextualised in the limelight of others. So what do these four observations mean for you as a researcher, especially if you're new to the New Zealand system? First, do not assume that if you find a Māori researcher in your department that they will have time for you or that they will facilitate introductions for you. Many researchers I know work hard to build up their stakeholder networks over time, and they do their best to protect those networks. Perhaps you are the same. So reach out to your Māori research colleagues with at least the same respect you would expect if a colleague wanted to be introduced to your networks. Second, be considerate. The kaiārahi often get swamped at funding round time, with researchers wanting a quick summary of their relevance to Māori, so that they can tick the box for the funding proposal submission. This is not the intent of the Vision Mataranga policy, and you also need to realise that the kaiārahi often have their own research and or teaching workload, in addition to helping others with the Māori-related aspects of their research and ethics proposals. Third, if you do seek to take on a Māori researcher onto your research team, do try to do this in a way that is sympathetic to their career interests. Too many Māori researchers have fragmented research portfolios, as they're associate investigators at fractional increments on many grants as a way of getting funded, but they never get the chance to develop their own research career. Or they have gone into education and Indigenous research, even though they have qualifications in other disciplines, because they don't get the opportunity to be involved in research that is closer to their disciplinary calling. So what can you do? My recommendation for you is to get involved in Māori-related training at your organisation or take up some of the courses widely offered on public service websites. Pay particular attention, if you can, to understanding Māori stories and seeing their relevance to your research topic. For example, I recently heard of a scientist applying the stories of the ancestors in the south, sending fire to warm those experiencing bitter cold in the north, to his research into geothermal activity that follows a south-to-north pattern. You should engage with your kaiārahi as soon as you can. Do not wait for a funding round, and do not get impatient if you get a slow response. They are usually overwhelmed with requests. They're also probably too gracious to tell you that they find it somewhat belittling that researchers sometimes see them simply as a service rather than being respectful of their wisdom or mana arising from their cultural identity. Proactively seek out Māori researchers in your discipline or those with a PhD in your discipline who may be in Indigenous or education research centres. They may be able and willing to help you supervise Māori PhD students in your discipline with a view to building their own research portfolio with you. This could be a win-win scenario for both of you. You should, if possible and relevant, seek to get funding for Māori PhD scholarships to support emerging researchers in your research group. This will give you links into iwi and hapu, accelerate your own personal education about research of interest to Māori, and give you a deep understanding of how the Vision Mātauranga policy and framework apply to you. There may be exceptions where your research genuinely has no relevance or interest to Māori, particularly if your research is fundamental in nature. Nevertheless, you do well to understand the context and do not assume that because it is not relevant for one funding round, that your research will never be of interest to Māori. As it develops or the commercial aspects become clear down the track, your research may well be of interest to Māori over time. So the key takeaways from this episode. 1. The principles of the Treaty of Waitangi and Vision Mātauranga should be top of mind when preparing a funding proposal. 2. These are living documents, so are practically applied where possible in the New Zealand system, so be familiar with their intent. 3. Vision Mātauranga includes the unique and special contribution of Māori knowledge and distinctiveness of research. Failure to address Vision Mātauranga properly is one of the 4 most common mistakes that researchers make when applying for funding, and we've covered this in an earlier podcast. I do hope that you found this of relevance to your next research funding proposal. Thank you for listening, and here's to your success.
Thanks for listening to the Research Funding Accelerator. For more, follow Dr. Tracy Swift on Twitter at Dr. Tracy Swift 1.